listening to the Miracle Word Podcast. We believe that the Word of God gives you the power to experience never-ending increase in every area. If you're ready for revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here's your host, evangelist, author, and founder of Miracle Word University, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
This thought from the Word of God. I don't know that I've heard a lot of teaching on this, or any really, maybe a little bit. But I want to show you from several passages in the Word. You saw what I put in the title, that God's got your address. Laser accurate blessings are coming to you. I'm going to show you something that should really, really get you shouting, because there's this thought process. And by the way, welcome to everybody that's listening on the podcast as well. Sorry we took a little bit of time to get some backlogged podcasts up, but we were just looking at some of the audio quality. But I had maybe 4 to 6 people write me in one day and were like, where's the podcast? I don't do YouTube. I don't do Facebook. We listen on the podcast when we're at work. They're back, baby. And today's will be up as well. But welcome to everybody listening on the podcast. One of the things that I've been thinking about more and more, especially as we're coming into the final moments of time, and the Bible says the world will get darker and darker. Sin will abound, but grace will much more abound. There's this mindset. Hey, Christina Garcia. There's this mindset like everything has to be going right around you in order for you to be in the middle of the blessing of God, or in order for you to be in the middle of what God has for you. I'm going to show you today from the scripture that that is not true whatsoever. And in fact, I'm going to take you to 3 places in the Bible, Old and New Testament, and show you that it has nothing to do with what God's getting ready to do for you. Has absolutely nothing to do with what God's about to do for you. So you should be excited, because it doesn't matter who doesn't believe in the power of God. It doesn't matter who rejects the power of God. It doesn't matter. There might be atheists all around you. There might be agnostics all around you. Everybody in your neighborhood could be an atheist. I'll go further than that. Everybody in your neighborhood could be a Satanist. And it won't affect you, won't affect your blessing, won't affect your anointing, won't affect your favor. The unbelief of others will not destroy the rewards of my faith. And I want you to put that in the comments section first thing today. The unbelief of others will not destroy or cancel, that'd probably be a better word, the results of my faith. The unbelief of others will not cancel the results of my faith. It's a key thought. That's today's key thought. You need to get it in your spirit, because there are people that think, well, I got to be in the right place. I got to make sure. And it is good to have faith connections. It is good to have faith friends. And we should have those kinds of relationships that are equally yoked, if you will, as Paul said. But the unbelief of others will not cancel the results of my faith. And I'm going to show you that from the Word of God today. And it's a principle that we need to get a hold of so that we don't have this mindset like, well, you know, I've been just waiting for God to bless me, but I can't be blessed because there's so many people around me that just don't believe like I believe, and I just can't get my... No, it doesn't work that way. The unbelief of others will not cancel the results of my faith. I don't care who doesn't believe it. I believe it. So we're going to look, beginning with the scripture that's probably been quoted more than any other scripture during the last 9 months, and that is Psalm 91. And we're going to go there today, and this is our Old Testament passage. I'm going to show you this from the Word of God, and of course I'm going to actually read verses 1 through 7. Psalm 91, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 to you. Listen to this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Now catch verse 7, because I believe it's extremely important for you and for me. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but these things, or it, will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. I gave you verse 8 as a bonus, but catch that. Notice what it said. 1,000 may fall right at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but these things will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. So let's break this first passage down, because I want you to see this. It doesn't mean that you will never see these things going on, these wicked and evil things, these attacks of the devil. It's not saying we won't ever see them happen, or we won't be in that place, or we won't be around that stuff. It'll be so far from us. We'll never. No, they said 1,000 will fall at your side. They'll be right at your side and fall. 10,000 at your right hand means that you're in the midst of it. It's all around you. But notice what the word of God said. It won't touch you. Hallelujah. It won't touch you. I mean, just say that by faith in the comments. It won't touch me. It won't touch me. That's my confession, man. I'm sticking with that. It won't touch me. Welcome, South Africa. Thanks, Caitlin. Put it in the comments and just declare it. It won't touch me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It will not touch me. Why? Well, because the Bible says I'll only look with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, which means it'll be close enough around me, I'll see it going on. It'll happen at my side and at my right hand. I'll see it with my own eyes. It won't touch me though. So that means you can be in the midst of something like that and it not affect you at all. Hallelujah. Do you know, I have traveled far more than any person watching this broadcast right now or listening on the podcast. I have traveled this year far more than anybody has. And do you know, I've seen these things everywhere. These things have not touched me. Not one. I've traveled all over this nation this year. I've not had one violent protester try to mess with me. I've not had anybody come at me. I've not had sickness touch me. I've not had disease come upon me. I've flown on so many planes over this last however many months. So many flights. I've been everywhere. You say, well, brother, you're just what? No, I'm telling you, this is how we live and confess. I've been everywhere. I've been into the hot spots. You understand that? I lived in a hot spot. I was traveling to other hot spots. I was around tons of people, and these things have not touched me. I've been around people that have been around people that have had issues physically. Hasn't touched me. It won't touch me. I'll see it with my eyes, but it won't touch me. Won't come upon me, my house, my family, in Jesus' name. It shall not touch me. Doesn't mean that I locked myself in a basement. I've done the opposite of that. I've done the exact opposite of that. I've just nonstop gone everywhere, including hotspots, all over this nation. All over this nation. I'm still going. Here in Texas, I'm going to Tennessee. Same thing. Dave's driven his truck all over the place. Same for him. It's not that we won't be in the midst of it. It's that it won't touch us in Jesus' name. Won't touch us. And the Bible says they'll fall at your side, 1,000 at your right hand, 10,000 at your right hand. But you'll not see, you'll not experience it. You'll just see it with your eyes and you'll see the recompense of the wicked. Hallelujah. And so the first thing I want you to catch with me today is you don't have to be in the midst of total peace in order to get your blessings from the Lord. Everything doesn't have to be going right for you to get your blessings from the Lord. Doesn't work that way. I mean, go back. One of the most clear pictures of this that we can see, Old Testament, I've used this many times, I'll mention it again today, is you go back and look at the first Passover. The Israelites were not in a separate nation than Egypt. They were living among them. They were living among them. And the Lord sent plague after plague after plague. Did it touch the Egyptians? Yes. Did it touch the Jewish people? No. And on that final night, the Passover night, the death angel came and God said, there'll be such a weeping, wailing, and moaning and a cry that will go out through Egypt that's never happened like that before and will never happen again. But among you, he said, but among you, it will be so peaceful, not even a dog will bark. And you will know that the Lord makes a distinction, he said, between his people and Egypt. And so I want you to see this. God does things on purpose to let the distinction be made between those who follow him faithfully and those who don't. Amen. And it didn't touch them. Bible says, it'll be so peaceful among you. We've had more peace. Let me go further than that. We've had not only more peace, we've had more joy, and we've had more increase in a year that everybody was supposed to decrease. Everybody was supposed to diminish. You're supposed to actually start hoarding up and saving up because we don't know when this is going to pass. We've had more increase in a time where we were supposed to diminish than we have in any other year of ministry. I want you to catch this. You're connected to a ministry that had more increase in a time of pandemic, lockdown, shutdown than in any other year. All the years when it was going good, when we had, you know, there was no pandemic, there was no, you know, shutdown. We had a better year this year in this ministry, more impactful, more doors open, more increase come than in any other year of our ministry. I mean, that should blow the minds of the wicked. How in the world does God bless them in a time where they shouldn't be traveling, shouldn't be doing things, shouldn't be working for the Lord? And we kept moving forward, and by prophetic mandate, increased exponentially. And it continues on. 2021 is going to blow this year away. It's going to blow this year away by the power of God. We're going to run in 2021. And so I want you to see this now. It was going on around us, but it was not touching us. Thank you, Lord. Vilma said, I've truly laughed more this year than any other year. Hallelujah. And I'm just telling you right now, it doesn't have to be true around you to be true with you. They were in Egypt. They were in the same nation God was judging, and it did not touch them. And it won't touch you. Somebody put it in the comments again. It won't touch me. It won't touch me. So let me show you something. I'm going to show you a passage here where Jesus, with laser accuracy, located the people who have faith in the midst of people who did not. I want you to write this in the comments because this is something that I've been saying, and obviously it's obvious. Hey, Pastor Jordan, it's an obvious thing, but I like to say it because it gets us in the mindset that God is sending blessings to chase us down. Put this in the comments with me. God has my address. God has my address. Or if you're from another part of the country, address. God has my address. He has my address. I want you to see that. And we're going to go in a moment to Mark chapter 6. But let me take you to Deuteronomy 28, because by the way, even if you moved, you don't have to give him your forwarding address. He already has it. He already has your address. It's like little kids used to ask when they were, how does Santa know where we live? God has your address. I love this. Listen. Deuteronomy 28:12, the Bible says, the Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands, and you'll lend to many nations and you'll not borrow. Well, how does God know where your lands are? He's got your address. He's watching over the righteous, but he turns his face away from the wicked, the Bible says. He's watching over the righteous. His ears are inclined to hear their prayers. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. But he turns his face away from the wicked. Turns his face away from the wicked. You know what God will say to them when they get to heaven? Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. I never knew you. But to us, he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. God's got your address. He knows where you are, knows how to bless you. In the midst of turmoil, God's going to bless you abundantly. Listen to Mark chapter 6. Here's a point where nobody should have got a miracle. Nobody should have received anything from the Lord. Why? Place was filled with unbelief and doubt. Filled with it. Catch Mark 6, 1 through 6. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. Now look at verses 5 and 6. And Jesus could do there no mighty work, not one, among the people with unbelief, except, now here's where it comes in for you, except that he could lay his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. So here's a story that's a perfect example of how it's going to work for me and you. For me and for you. I don't care if everybody around you is filled with unbelief. I don't care if everybody around you is full of doubt. It will not affect what God has planned for you. It will not affect it. In fact, Jesus goes into Nazareth. The Bible says they all were offended at him, doubting him. But notice that there were people in the crowd who believed that he was the Messiah, believed that he was the Son of the living God, and knew his miracle working power. They were pulling on him with their faith. And notice that Jesus could not leave Nazareth without touching the ones who had faith. Hallelujah. That's me and that's you. That is me and that is you. He couldn't leave there without interacting with them, intervening, and blessing them. Couldn't do it. Why? Because faith moves God. And God knows how to locate with laser accuracy faith in the midst of unbelief. Jesus did it. He did it time and time again. And so I don't want you to feel like, well, there's nobody else in my family. that believes God. My father, mother don't believe. My sisters, brothers don't believe. My neighbors don't believe. I'm in the midst of a bunch of coworkers that don't believe. Let me encourage you with something. It doesn't matter if they believe or not for you to get your miracle, for you to get your blessing, for you to get your breakthrough, because the results of your faith are not based on the faith or unbelief of others. It's not based on it. Has nothing to do. It is irrelevant in your case. It's irrelevant in your case. Let me ask you a question. If your neighbor gets caught with drugs in their house, do you go to jail? No. If your neighbor were to murder someone, do you get arrested? No. What they do is not affecting you. What they do is not affecting you. Notice what God, this is an important point. Notice what God instructed his people when they went into the promised land. He said, when you get in there, I want you to tear down all of the altars, the Asherah poles, the temples of the false gods, of the people that are there. I want you to tear them all down. And then I want you to make sure that you do not intermarry with them. Now, I got a whole glass of water. I only put a little bit of arsenic. It's still going to kill you. It's still going to kill you. Why? Because a little bit of poison is still dangerous. A little bit of poison is still going to destroy you. And so it doesn't matter. That's why he told them. He said, don't intermingle, don't intermarry, don't, because what happens is if you go into that land with people who don't have faith like you do, and you start getting involved with them, their godlessness, their unbelief, their really, their pagan practices are going to become part of your life. And that's exactly what happens. So as long as you don't become one who allows the unbelief of others to affect your life, these things cannot touch you. These things cannot touch you. I think it's Facebook itself, because everybody on YouTube is saying that it's fine. There's no problems on YouTube. Yeah, Brandon's still getting it on Facebook. So if you have an issue, flip over to YouTube. But understand this. The only way you'd get arrested if your neighbor was involved with that is if you were involved with your neighbor. So, well, my neighbor was a drug dealer. Well, you don't go to jail for that unless you were assisting them in illegal activity. That's why it's so important that when you find people, that's why I want you to think this. When that's why the Bible says, if you even see people in the church, Titus wrote this, stirring up divisions and bringing in problems and issues to the body of Christ and bringing all those problems that would cause us to lose our victory, to lose our faith. Paul wrote and said, separate from them, cut them out. Warn them once, warn them twice, and then have nothing more to do with them. Why? Because Paul was walking in love towards the body of believers. He said, if we allow this to stay, it'll destroy the whole body. So what do? We always separate from that thought process. We always separate. What did Jesus, I want you to catch this. What did Jesus say to Peter? When Peter said, no, Lord, you're not going to be crucified. You're not going to be taken away. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, literally gave Peter a harsh rebuke. You know why he did it? Because even though Peter was a handpicked disciple, Peter was allowing his flesh and his fleshly desires to govern what he was saying to Jesus and his and what he wanted to happen in the natural realm. Jesus knew, if I follow what your flesh wants or the desires of the flesh, humanity will be doomed because redemption won't take place. And so I rebuke that and I separate myself from it. I'm giving you something here that you've got to catch in your spirit, because you'll have plenty of opportunities to engage with the world's system. Plenty. You'll have plenty of opportunities to live in doubt, plenty of opportunities to live in unbelief, plenty of opportunities to speak against the promises of God, plenty of opportunities to be depressed, plenty of opportunities to be anxious and suicidal. You have to learn to disconnect from those issues, disconnect from the source of drama, and you've got to learn how to believe the word and say, I'm in this world, yes, but I am not and will not be of this world. I refuse to align myself with the thought process of this earth and what's going on in the earth. That's why I'm very careful even who I hang with and who I give access to my life, because I'm not going to be influenced by people who don't believe God. Because I'm going to be in a place where when God's pouring out blessings, I'm receiving blessings. I'm not missing out because somehow I've engaged with an antichrist thought process or an unbelief thought process. I refuse. And you need to refuse. I don't receive it in Jesus' name. And I'm going to allow God to locate me. In the midst of unbelief, He will locate my faith. Hallelujah. I want you to put it in the comments. In the midst of unbelief, God will locate my faith. In the midst of unbelief, God will locate my faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the midst of unbelief, God will locate my faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's going to be our story. That's going to be our story. Go with me to Mark chapter 10 now. We're just in Mark chapter 6. Go to Mark chapter 10. In the midst of unbelief, God will locate my faith. I don't care who doesn't believe Him. You know what's interesting is we used to sing that song, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus. But one of the verses was, though none go with me, still I will follow. That's the mindset right there. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I don't need an entourage to serve God. I don't need an entourage to serve the Lord. I don't need 20 other people to do it. My whole family. Listen, there's plenty of people who their family didn't follow with them. It's a sad thing. We believe for families to be saved, household salvation. But what are you going to do if your parents say, I don't want to serve the Lord? What are you going to do if your children choose not to go? What if your sisters and brothers choose not to go? Are you going to say, well, you know, that's what the family's doing. That's what I'm going to do. No. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Still I will follow. In the midst of unbelief, God will locate my faith. That's going to be our story in Jesus' name. Laser accurate blessings for the righteous. These last 2 months, November and December, filled with violent increase, expedited favor in Jesus' name. In the midst of unbelief, God will locate my faith. Happens again in Mark chapter 10. It's not an Old Testament thing. It's a New Testament thing. Amen, Megan. She said, I've declared that my entire family will be saved and know Jesus by the end of 2020. We're standing with you. We're believing with you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Catch this now. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. See, these are the people that don't want you getting radical in faith. Here's the religious group that doesn't want you. Well, we don't mind if you praise God, brother. Just don't praise Him too loud. We don't mind. Just keep it to yourself. They don't want you pressing in. Because I'm going to give you a principle that may blow your mind. But it needs to be said so that you understand the importance of pressing in. Other people that are lazy, that are religious, that are lackadaisical, they don't want you to go hard after God. They don't want you to go hard after God. You know why? Because they, when you do, when you press in that hard, it highlights their laziness. It's just like people at work. If you work with a bunch of people that only do enough work to not be fired, if you work with people that only do enough, they show up at 9:05 and they leave at 4:55. They're lazy. They take a week to do what they could do in a day. They're just doing enough to not get fired. They don't have excellence. When you start working with excellence, when you start doing what you're supposed to do and doing it well, they get mad. Oh, I guess somebody's trying to be the boss's favorite. I guess somebody's trying to brown nose the boss. That's the kind of stuff you start hearing. Oh, it looks like somebody's trying to get a promotion. You know why they don't like it? Because when you work hard, when you are excellent, it highlights their laziness. It highlights the fact they're not doing. See, they don't want, listen to this, they don't want the boss to know that you can do that much work in a day. They want the boss to think it takes a week to do what we're doing. They want the boss to think that. So they don't want the boss seeing you accomplishing it in 1 8-hour workday. Because now the pressure's on them to perform like you're performing. So what do they start doing? Pushing back. Oh, looks like somebody's trying to be the boss. Looks like somebody's trying to get a promotion. That's how they talk. They're bums. They will not stand before kings. They will not serve great men. They will always scrape the bottom of the bucket because that's exactly what that kind of a lifestyle brings. And this is how the religious people were with Bartimaeus. They didn't want to do what he was doing. They weren't praising Jesus as he was leaving. They were referring to him once again the way the people were in Nazareth. Isn't this Jesus of Nazareth? Isn't this Jesus, Joseph? That's exactly what they were saying. Here comes Jesus of Nazareth. That's not what Bartimaeus said. Bartimaeus said, Jesus, son of David. That's his messianic name. That means Messiah. That means Christ, the anointed one. That's who he was calling out to. That's who he needed. And notice that the Bible says Jesus just kept on moving. Just kept on leaving. He wasn't holding a meeting. He was leaving the city. Notice he just kept on moving. And Jesus stopped after Bartimaeus spoke. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He's calling you. Now they're all on his side. A minute ago, they told him to shut up. Now they're, he's calling you. The master wants to talk to you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus said. And the blind man said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Notice what happened. Here's a crowd. Hey, Miss Colleen. Here's a crowd of people as he's leaving Jericho. I'm sure many of them needed miracles. I'm sure many of them were looking for the increase. But you know what? Faithlessness. Nobody was petitioning Jesus by faith. Although they needed, I'm sure many needed healing. I'm sure many needed help. But nobody was getting any. Because Jesus doesn't bless needs, he blesses faith. Put it in the comments. Jesus doesn't bless needs, he blesses faith. Put it in there. Jesus doesn't bless needs, he blesses faith. That's the key. He's looking for faith on the earth. Will he find it? Will he find it? And so he didn't stop, though there might have been other people with needs. He kept on moving until the cry of faith came out. Hallelujah. Until the cry of faith came out. And so what do? We understand Lord's looking for our faith actions. How does he locate us in the midst of unbelief? He locates us because of our faith. My faith will be located in the midst of unbelief. Hallelujah. My faith will be located in the midst of unbelief. Hallelujah. God's got your address. Blessings are coming to you. Laser guided, laser accurate blessings. He will skip over 1,000 who don't believe him in order to touch one who does believe him. Hallelujah. Jesus will skip over 1,000 that don't believe him just to touch one who does believe him. Amen. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. Doesn't matter who doesn't believe him. If you believe him, he's coming to touch you. And your faith will be located in the midst of unbelief. So, well, this is a rough year. There's, you know, people don't seem to be on fire for God. That don't matter. Are you on fire? Are you on fire? Do you have a hunger for the things of God? See, it's really exciting when you start to realize I don't have to depend on the hunger of others. I don't have to depend on the dedication of others. Now, it's good to be connected to hungry, dedicated people. You should have those kind of friends. But even if you don't, that doesn't affect you, because you are judged individually based on what you do. That should get you so excited and get you ready to shout today that on this Breakthrough Friday, there's nobody that can hold back your blessing. Whew. Hallelujah. There's nobody that can hold back your blessing. Not one person on the earth. Not one. You are judged individually by your faithfulness. Notice, if you're willing, if you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord didn't say when everybody starts getting hungry after righteousness, when everybody starts getting thirsty after righteousness, then they'll all, no. If you will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Doesn't mean everybody. I said, doesn't mean everybody. See, here's the thing. It's different Old and New Testament, because back in the Old Testament, there would be, the whole nation would suffer for the sins of some. You notice that? And they'd have to call the whole nation to fast, whole nation to pray, whole nation to repent. But see, it's not like that in the New Testament. You hear this? Because I want you to understand it very clearly. It's not like that in the New Testament. All of America doesn't have to repent for me to have my redemptive blessing. Thank you, Jesus. All of Canada, Norman, doesn't have to repent in order for you to receive your redemptive blessings. Doesn't work that way. See, because in the New Covenant, New Testament, every one of us have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Each one of us is individually redeemed by God, and each one of us are rewarded individually for our obedience and our faithfulness. It's encouraging to know that the whole nation does not have to repent for me to get my blessing. My whole state, it's just like the thing, you know, California is a godless state. You know, many states are godless. But I know people and preachers and friends of mine that live in California, they're blessed. You know why they're blessed? Because the thought process and the actions of godless people in California do not affect the decisions and the results of the godly people in California. Amen. I mean, if you start to realize, it doesn't matter. You know, you could have a good governor, like some states do, that isn't doing antichrist things, Or you can have a nut job like Newsom, like California does. But just because you've got leadership like that does not mean God can't bless you or isn't blessing you or won't bless you. Has nothing to do with who your governor is. Do you honestly think that a governor can stop the blessing of God that is dealt out to the righteous? Do you honestly think that? That some governor who's elected into office can withhold or stop the blessing of the hand of God that's been sent to the righteous? Please, who does a human being think they are that they could stop the blessing of God from coming upon the righteous? Foolishness. Who is going to oppose the Most High God, the Lord God Almighty? Foolishness. You can't oppose. If God's for you, who can be against you? But flip that around. If God's against you, who can be for you? It's a dangerous thing to oppose the Most High God. And if there's people with an Antichrist spirit that think they're going to shut down the blessing of the Lord on God's people and think that they're going to control what the church can and can't do, they've lost their mind. Because Jesus already said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you better not stand too close to the gates of hell. Because in the same way that they'll be destroyed, you'll be destroyed along with them. Who does the devil think he's talking to? Who does he think he is? Who does this Antichrist spirit think it is? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I feel like saying. Today, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. That's the kind of faith you walk by. Nobody can stop my blessing. Nobody can stop my increase. Nobody can stop my favor. Who are you going to do? Who are you that you think you're so big that you're going to travel into heaven and put a restraining order on God's blessing? You're going to send God a cease and desist letter? That's how foolish people are. They think, well, we're going to stop God from moving. We're going to stop the church from... You're going to send God a cease and desist letter? God will send one angel. That's all he needs to do. My cousin and her husband, who pastor in Montreal, were told by their city government that they could not have any other buildings in the city for a church, as their church grew so much they couldn't fit in it anymore. You cannot have any other church buildings. You cannot even zone any other buildings. You can't have any. So they started fasting and praying. 21 days of fasting and prayer. On the final day, corruption was discovered on the city council. All but one was moved out. And an article was written on the front page of the paper, Italian church being persecuted and discriminated against by the city government. Then they were going to, any building you want to have, you can have. Yeah. You think you're going to stop the blessing on God's people? You think you, with your little Antichrist spirit, are going to hinder what God can do? You've lost your mind. You think you're going to write God a cease and desist letter? You don't know who you're talking to. I don't care if you're in the midst of unbelief. You might be a pastor watching me and say, well, it's very, in our area, you know, it's not a very on fire area. Make it one. Well, you think the spirit of Antichrist that's in your city is stronger than the spirit of Christ that's on your people and on you? Don't kneel down to the spirit of Antichrist. And don't ever think that because there's stuff going on in the world that you can't be blessed or that you can't excel or that you can't increase or you can't succeed. Don't let the devil make you believe that you don't have the ability to walk in the blessings of God. You're a child of the Most High God. And you've got the favor of God upon your life. Hallelujah. Put it in the comments. I've got the favor of God. Write it in there. I've got the favor of God on my life. Exactly right. The favor of God. It's been poured out upon God's people. We've got the favor of God. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. We've got it. I said, we've got it. The favor of God. Did you know that the Bible says about us as Christians, Ephesians 1:3, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every blessing. There are no more blessings to be blessed with. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Thank you, Lord. Every spiritual blessing. There's no more blessings to get. You've got them all. He's given unto you all power, all authority. There's no more authority to get. You've got all the authority. You've been filled with the same Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead. He dwells in you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means you can't get more anointed than you already are. Oh yeah, you can't get more anointed than you already are. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, what else is there? What else is there? Nothing. You've got the highest level of anointing that there is. Somebody put that in the comments. I'm anointed. Hallelujah. I'm anointed by the power of God. I am anointed. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I'm getting ready to pray a breakthrough Friday style prayer on everybody that's watching. I'm going to pray this for you today because listen, we're jumping in to the greatest days in November, December that we've ever seen in this whole year. It's going to be glorious. I said, it's going to be glorious. We're going to rejoice all the way to the new year. We're rejoicing all the way to the new year. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm anointed. You're anointed. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Somebody declare it. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. You're anointed. Amen. Now I want to pray for those of you that are watching because I know that the enemy does everything that he thinks he can do to try to get people to miss out on what God has planned for them. And do you know, my wife wrote me a message a couple of days ago. She was just thanking God. She said, do you realize how blessed we've been this year? That no matter what's been sweeping through this nation or other nations, that not only has it never come upon us, but we've been abundantly blessed. We've seen the increase of heaven. You know, the thing we've confessed all year has been our story. What we've declared since the end of last year and all through this year has been our story. You can have what you say. You can, because I can, let me tell you something. It hadn't been that way for everybody. I've looked, I've seen. It hadn't been that way for everybody. I've seen Christians struggle. They shouldn't have to, but I've watched them struggle through this time. I pray that the struggle ends for them in Jesus' name. But I've not struggled. We've not struggled. Many of you watching me, you know what I'm talking about. You didn't struggle. You were blessed. You can have what you say. My wife wrote me a message and she said, I've just been thanking God because in the midst of a mess, we've been blessed. Even when other people were struggling, even when other people felt the effects of what was going on, we did not. And you can live like that. You can live in the blessing of heaven. Live in the blessing of God. And see His favor activated in your own life. Now I'm going to pray for every one of you that are watching today. And ask God that before this year ends, that you'd see such a mighty breakthrough. That it wouldn't just blow other people's minds, it'd blow your mind. That God will do it faster than you've ever seen it happen. That you'll see it happen faster and more in a more explosive way than you've ever seen happen before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So let me pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you and ask you today. From this day forward, let your explosive favor, blessing, come upon your people. Lord, we can't help it. If other people don't believe you, we can't help it. If other people don't stand on your word, we can't help it. If they have a spirit of doubt and unbelief, we don't disbelieve you, Lord. We believe you. We believe your word. We believe your word. We stand on it. And so, Lord, we thank you that because we do, in the midst of unbelief, you will locate our faith. In the midst of people that say you can't, you will for us. Because we will never doubt you. We will never be in a place where we doubt your word. We declare it today, we will have what your word says we can have. We will walk in the never-ending favor of God, never-ending increase, in Jesus' name. Lord, fill our homes with your supernatural power. Touch our children, touch our grandchildren, touch our physical bodies. Give us strength to run into this new year with momentum. Strengthen every physical body. I rebuke sickness and disease today, command it to loose its grip on God's people. Receive healing virtue into your body in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we will see a quick breakthrough in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise. It is our year of violent increase and expedited favor in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe that, somebody throw some hands up or some fire in the comments section. Let me know that you believe that and receive that prayer today in Jesus' mighty name. It's quickly coming to pass for God's people. Quickly coming to pass for God's people. And let me encourage you to do something on this Breakthrough Friday. I want to encourage you to sow a seed that is something you've never done. This is different. This is different today. I want to encourage you by faith. Listen to me. If you want to see God touching you in a supernatural way, it takes faith. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, we can't continue to do the same thing over and over and expect God to do something different. We don't do the same thing over and over and expect God to do something different. I want to encourage you to sow a seed that you've never sown today. Do something that you've never stepped out to do in your Christian life. Do it today. Stand with Carolyn and me as we're getting ready to touch this world with the gospel of Christ. Do something you've never done that takes faith. Maybe you've been thinking about, praying about doing it. You've said, Lord, give me the ability to do it. Step out today and do something you've never done before. Maybe it's something that you've had in your spirit. You say, man, that seems like a large amount. That's the Lord leading you. It's not your flesh. It's not the devil. It's got to be the Lord. Just by process of elimination, you know it's the Lord. And see, the biggest things that have ever happened are getting ready to happen, and you're a part of it. You pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to do, but do something you've never done before. Provoke him by your faith. Provoke him by your faith. And you can easily do it on the comment section with hashtag donate, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope. If you're on YouTube, you can use Cash App, Venmo. You can use PayPal. Easiest thing to do is to go to miracleword.com, click the give tab, and sow your seed today. Maybe God's speaking to you to partner with our ministry. We've asked God to send people that'll stand with us every single month. Maybe you can sow $100 a month, $85 a month, $250 a month. Maybe God's blessed your business and blessed your ministry, blessed you personally. You could sow $1,000 a month. Do whatever you can do by faith. But today I'm encouraging you, this is different. Do something you've never done before. Do it in faith and watch what God will do. Last 2 days, really, I believe, of this month, today's the 30th, so today and tomorrow, for everybody that sows a seed of $85 or more, we're going to be sending you Dr. Lester Sumrall's book, Adventuring with Christ, powerful story of faith of how he started his ministry, went around the world with Howard Carter, Smith Wigglesworth. It's an amazing book. And then for those of you that are sowing largely and doing something large, I mean impactful, that you've never done before, $1,000 or more, we're going to include with that our hardcover limited edition copy of Further Faster and the Genuine Leather Life Application Study Bible. Tonight is the final night of revival here in Huntington, Texas. New Beginnings Church. God's moving, man. Tonight's going to be a powerful anointing service. You're not going to want to miss it. Amen. Vilma, thank you. Thank you for sowing your seed. We're believing for increase to you as well, for your family. Tonight, we're standing and believing. It's going to be a powerful anointing service. God's going to touch this church. God's moving in this church using this pastor and his wife, Pastor John Wallace and his wife, Carissa, to touch this region. And we're believing God that there's going to be a mighty anointing that breaks loose in this house. Maybe you're believing for the same for you. Greatest days you've ever seen. Tune in tonight. East Coast time, 8 p.m. If you're in Central, we're starting at 7 here in Texas. Wherever you're watching around the world, do the math. Join us. We'll be live on Facebook tonight. Final night of this revival. It's an anointing service. It's an impartation service. You don't want to miss it. God's going to move by his power. And then I'll be back with you again in the studio, Miracle Word Studios in Florida on Monday morning. We'll be back with you. I'm flying back home tomorrow, Saturday. And we'll be back in the studio Monday, back in the studio Tuesday. And then I'm flying out for Tennessee. I'll be there for 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we'll still be broadcasting. You'll still see us in the morning. But it's going to be great. I'm going to be with Pastor Todd and Katie Holmes, not the Katie Holmes that used to be married to Tom Cruise. It's a different Katie Holmes. at the Stand in Tennessee. And it's going to be great. We're preaching outside, just like they're doing down in Tampa at Dr. Rodney's. We're going to be doing the same thing in Tennessee. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Todd Holmes was on staff with Dr. Rodney for a number of years and helped him in the Bible school. And he planted a church in Tennessee, and we're going to go and help them there. It's going to be great. So I'm looking forward to it. Love to see you guys. If you're anywhere close, go to the website, miracleword.com. Click the schedule page. You'll be able to see the address. If you're anywhere close, come and be a part of what God's doing in Tennessee. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll see you again on Monday. I love you so much. Thanks for hanging with us today. Glad we had no technical issues. Technology won, Ted and Zach won. Hallelujah. We're going to get one up on them on Monday too. Love y'all. Have a great one. Be blessed. And I'll talk to you again very soon.
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.